And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is leadership. Each of my guests is discussing leadership, whether it's in city government or in technology. My next guest is a thought leader in the field of management of technology. We'll discuss why self-leadership is the prerequisite to general leadership. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because I'm going to be using it right now for a giveaway, four sandwiches or four salads to Urbane Cafe, to the caller who calls in and tells me what today is the 24th anniversary of. 24 years ago, that was 1987, we were celebrating, or not celebrating, but we had a major event. What is the 24th anniversary today, October the 19th? Call in with that answer and you win four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. My next guest, Tom Oser, is a management consultant to executives and organizations of all sizes. He advises clients on strategy, scenario planning, operations improvement, process improvements, and alignment of business strategy and information technology. Tom is an adjunct member, a faculty member in strategy at the Wharton School and also the School of Engineering at the University of Pennsylvania Engineering Executive Masters in Technology Management Program. He was the founding director of the graduate program in telecommunications management at Stevens Institute of Technology, and he advises Stevens Institute on technology management. Tom holds his MBA in finance and strategy from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. He also earned a PhD in computer and information engineering and a bachelor's of engineering at Stevens and a master's of science in telecommunications at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. Joining us from Los Angeles, how are you today, Tom?
Bill, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, what a pleasure to have a thought leader like yourself on the show today. I appreciate it greatly. And let's just dive right into it. Today's theme is leadership. Leadership in business is intertwined with technology. Good leaders take advantage of the technologies to help them lead, and a person or a group that masters a technology can actually lead a group. And an example of that might be the Arab Spring that we just experienced this year. You make your living at the intersection of technology and leadership. So from your perspective, how do the great leaders take advantage of technology?
Well, you bring up a good point. Great leaders. I think there's a challenge with technology that sometimes people shy away from their responsibilities, but more and more people recognize that technology is part of their daily life. And executives of large corporations that are responsible for tens of millions of dollars of capital decisions each year in the areas of information technology have to take the responsibility of being technology leaders, even if that's not their formal background. I think in 1996, it was the watershed or the cross point where people stopped saying, gee, I wish I had the technology that I have at work in my home, and it switched to, gee, I wish I had the technology that I have available to me at home. I wish I had that available at work, because they realized that the technology was available to the individual.
Now, that's interesting. Why 1996, Tom, of all years? How come that particular year stands out in your memory?
Well, it stands out in my memory because it was the tipping point on the road toward 2000. The Internet was just about being privatized. It was being taken out of the hands of the control of the National Institutes of Standards and so forth. And all the telecom companies were bringing it into the commercial sector. At that point, Netscape was on the road in and around that time to its IPO, and all of a sudden, the global connectivity of the Internet was becoming available to every individual in the world. And that was the tipping point where people recognized that as individuals, they had access to productivity of technology, and now it was going to have to be released into the workplace. And it goes back to your question about executives. The executives had to recognize that this is not something to be controlled anymore by balkanizing or keeping people from it, but in a strategic way, applying it to their business, because the individuals were capable of handling it now. It wasn't to be kept in the glass box in the basement anymore.
Well, Tom, let me ask a follow-on question. Is it coincidental that 1996 was also the beginning of one of the great stock market rallies of our generation?
You know, it's coincidental if you don't think about it, but it was all wrapped up. There were a number of things that were happening at that time. It was a run up of the emerging economies. China and India were starting. China was on a 10-year roll towards its accession to the World Trade Organization. It was the democratization of the internet and the privatization. And I think it was toward the end of the 1990s where a lot of the large corporate enterprise resource planning software systems like SAP and Oracle started to take hold in corporations, and it started to become very mature. There was a watershed right there in the mid to the late 90s. We had the release of the internet and the maturation of software systems that could come in and change organizations lock, stock, and barrel.
My guest is Tom Oser, management consultant. We're talking about leadership. We're also talking about technology. It's interesting, Tom, that even back in 1996, business leaders were slower to embrace the new technologies. However, in politics, leaders have always embraced the technology of the day to really help their campaigns. I mean, it goes back to the 30s when FDR used the radio to conduct his fireside chats. In 1960, or actually 59-60, it was JFK who slaughtered Richard Nixon at the first presidential TV debate. And then in this last election, Barack Obama used social media to really mobilize voters, and that's what pushed him over the edge. Why is it the politicians, and coincidentally these are all Democrats, use technology more effectively than business people to help them lead?
It's interesting that you pointed out that that innovative use is on the Democratic side. We might find more of a liberal bent. We might find more of a community sense that everybody owns public information and therefore they're willing to share it. That might be part of the bias toward using the newest technologies to disseminate information most rapidly. It's interesting. There is one telltale is that Obama followed the Clinton husband and wife team in the most innovative use of technology at the time. And if you recall, when Bill Clinton won his successful first campaign, he cleaned the clocks of the other side through just an extraordinary sophisticated use of fax and centralized communications through physical offices of teams of people that were very savvy about the prior stage of technology. And when Hillary Clinton came out and tried to repeat that type of a structure that worked so well for Bill prior to the, probably the better part of a decade or so before, with the intervening Bush years, her clocks were cleaned by the leapfrog that Obama and the younger and the more savvy group did that were much more in tune. Even Obama wouldn't give up his BlackBerry as the president. So it's interesting, even on that side, just within the space of two generations of Democratic presidential hopefuls, the younger, quicker, newest assimilated technology group outstripped the obvious favorite coming into that side of the race.
My guest is Tom Oser, and remember, 639-0008 is the telephone number. Call in, and you can win four sandwiches or four salads if you can tell me what today is the 24th anniversary of, what monumental event. This show's all about business, so I'm going to give you a hint. It has something to do with business. Call in, and you can be the winner of those four sandwiches or four salads. I know my guest Tom knows what it is, but Tom, unfortunately, you're not eligible to win. So let's get back to you. So let's talk a little bit about leadership, if we can, because I find it interesting. We said that politicians embrace this more than the business people do. Why is there this gap between business and technology? I mean, I've met so many good technologists who are just absolutely clueless about business practices and procedures. And likewise, I've met more than my share of business leaders who were clueless about how technology can positively impact their business. Why is there this gap?
I think there's a, and this is true across all disciplines of expertise and the language or the lingo between marketing people and finance and the executive suite and operations. But there's one group, and that's the information technologists, that are at odds from a perspective and a communication sense across all members, all departments of the organization at a given time. And I think the fundamental reason is because the technologists spend all of their developmental years getting the right answer, getting the precise answer. And in business, if you wait for the precise answer, the opportunity is lost. The field has shifted, and the less precise competitor who got to the market first won the day. And I think that sets up a dynamic between the demand for technical correctness, particularly in the information upon which business decisions are made, and the need for speed to getting to decisions and not waiting for the finest dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's in a system or something like that.
Isn't that interesting? That's not at all what I expected you to say, Tom, and I'm going to challenge you on that, because it is the technologists, the guys that are in the IT department, that know that technology turns over every 18 months. There is no right answer, because 18 months from now, according to Moore's Law, 18 months from now, we're going to have something new that's going to be even better and greater. So I would think they would be the ones that recognize that this is dynamic, and you just draw a line in the sand, and then you have to move on from that. And it's the business leaders who would be looking for the more precise answer, because they want to know that their employee management software is the right software out there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think what you'll find that on the fringes of the youngest technologists is that they're more facile, they're more capable of assimilating the new technology coming up, because they're not tied into the way things were done before. So you'll find very rapid capabilities of very rapid change and assimilation in the younger technologists. The older technologists who have had to deliver what they call big iron or mainframe systems, big iron, rock-solid systems over long periods of time, they don't have the luxury of making rapid changes in the results of the technology. I agree with you that the underlying technology changes. The shelf life of a new product could be 9 months. It could be off the market in 18 months. But the actual data that has to persist in banking systems and record systems, that information has to persist unchanged, even with the moving technology elements, the hardware elements underneath. Those things may be changing, but the integrity of the baseline information and the processes has to remain intact. So you have a very interesting conflict and dynamic for the technologists.
Well, it is an interesting time because, yes, I would agree that if you're in banking, you've got to have all of your accounts straight, you've got to have all of your customers straight, and it has to be very secure. You don't want somebody hacking in and getting access to people's names, account numbers, and Social Security numbers. However, that being said, I find it interesting that big iron is a part of this conversation, because as everything is moving towards the cloud, yes, what's underneath the cloud is big iron, but it seems to me that more and more people are migrating away from having a laptop or even a desktop computer and want everything, their data and everything else, in the cloud stored somewhere. How is cloud computing going to impact and perhaps even accelerate leadership in the IT world?
Leadership in the IT world. Let me rephrase it.
How is the cloud computing going to impact this pace of change in the IT world and the leadership that has to go along with that pace of change?
Well, that's the case. You know, the beauty of what's going on in the cloud. I think a real showstopper in the last two decades about the adoption of the newest technologies and large systems was that once you made a decision, multi-million dollar decisions in some cases, to invest in a technology that could be at the core of your business, you were marrying up for a good decade or so. And the challenge was that if you've invested so many millions of dollars at the start, it wouldn't be long in the period of 3 to 5 years when we all know that the pace of change in technology, it wouldn't be long within those 3 to 5 years that you'd find you'd have to reinvest almost at the initial investment level just to upgrade those systems. the beauty of what's going on in the cloud, not only the personal freedom of individual productivity and security of knowing that your data is out there no matter where you go in the country, if you have a mobile device, you can access it, but for organizations and corporations that take the leap and put their faith in that cloud, will now have the benefits that as the software companies upgrade their systems, they will be upgraded in the cloud. And what will happen is that the enhanced functionality will come through the web browser or whatever method of access we choose to use. It will just appear. Now, there may be a slight or a large price increase for the enhanced functionality. I don't think the price is going to be large. I think it'll be more of a continuous subscription model. But corporations will no longer be caught between having just paid off the mortgage on one system and now having to go through another entire capital investment decision, as well as disruption to their business as they try to figure out a major forklift change as opposed to incremental functional changes that can come out of the cloud by those service providers on an ongoing basis.
An interesting perspective. My guest is management consultant Tom Ozer. Tom, tell us a little bit about your company, Ozer & Company Consulting. What do you do and for whom do you do it?
We concentrate mainly on post-merger integrations. We go in and we recognize that, and I think if you look at Wall Street, you'll find the anecdotal belief is that about 51% of all mergers and acquisitions don't succeed. They spend an awful lot of time on the financial engineering and proving to themselves and to the bankers and the debt holders that this is a good idea. But what they fail to do is enough due diligence to really gauge whether these two organizations are going to be able to integrate and achieve the savings and the synergies possible. I and my colleagues go into organizations. We understand the business processes. We understand the executive management goals. We also understand the fine points of operational integration. And we help organizations extract the value out of those mergers.
All right. My guest is Tom Ozer. And, Tom, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your company, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go out to www.osercc.com. That's O-S-E-R-C-C as in consulting company, .com. And they can head out there. And there's some contact information on there where they could send an email if they have specific questions to follow up.
That's osercc.com. Tom, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.